Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, April 18th, 2017. I'm your host, Scott Burden. It's good to have you with us as usual. On today's show, Andy Klein will introduce us to a new beer from the Alaskan Brewing Company. We'll get a preview of the Tuesday Marie Drake Planetarium presentation by Rosemary Walling called Finding Another Earth. We'll learn about the Glory Hole's Empty Bowls Banquet. Brandon Stone, one of this week's Rotary Pillars of America speaker, will preview his Wednesday presentation. And Barbara Jo Meyer will highlight Thunder Mountain High School spring musical Beauty and the Beast. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music and more right here, live and local on a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Coeur d'Alene tribe is hoping to revive the number of cutthroat trout in a lake with the help of a predator fish. So far, the numbers seem to indicate the process is working, as Steve Jackson reports.
The Coeur d'Alene tribe is in the third year of a program of moving northern pike from one section of the lake to another. The problematic pike were illegally introduced into the lake in the 1970s and like to feed on the native cutthroat trout. The tribe has been trying to restore cutthroat habitat in Lake Creek, which feeds into Windy Bay on Lake Coeur d'Alene. In 2015, the tribe began a program of gill netting the pike, tagging them, and moving them down the lake to Cougar Bay, a distance of 16 miles. Tribal fisheries biologist Angelo Vitale says the first year they caught and tagged 311 pike in Windy Bay, and last year 161. He says if that's an indicator of success, this year they've caught even fewer.
And we're having a hard time catching fish now after 3 weeks, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of half of what we caught last year in 2016. So from that perspective, I guess these are pretty encouraging results. It's just indicating that with a little bit of concerted effort, we can, you know, hold those pike numbers at relatively low levels.
Vitale says even better evidence is how few of the tagged pike have showed up in the gill nets.
Over the period of 3 years now, we've seen 3 tagged fish that we've recaptured in Lake Creek. So it's less than 1% of the fish that have been moved. So if they're, you know, if they have some sort of honing ability on these waters in Windy Bay, it's pretty minimal.
Vitale says it's now hoped they'll see more adult cutthroat heading upstream in Lake Creek to spawn. He says they hope to know if that's the case in a couple of months. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
The Southern Plains Tribal Health Board and Community Health Charities recently unveiled the American Indian Health Fund with a goal to raise $3 million over the next 3 years for health programs. This is the Community Health Charities of Oklahoma's first partnership with tribes. The group has been raising money since the 1960s. According to leaders of the charity, American Indians are disproportionately affected by long-term health challenges, which in many cases can be prevented and the groups hope to address. Tribal leaders and health advocates say under the new administration, there are concerns over the future of federal health grants. If eliminated, they say, would hurt tribes and tribal organizations. The fund will support healthy lifestyle options, disease management programs, education and prevention resources, services, and research to improve care and treatment. A Native American museum, which is internationally known, has a chance to become a Smithsonian affiliate. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Officials with the Mitchell Prehistoric Indian Village Museum in southeast South Dakota were invited to become a Smithsonian affiliate a few months ago. If the museum receives approval, benefits would include special traveling exhibits, artifact loans from the Smithsonian, and public lectures at the site by Smithsonian scholars. Members of the Prehistoric Indian Village Museum would also become automatic members of the Smithsonian. That would make members eligible for discounts in Smithsonian gift shops. Cindy Gregg is executive director of the museum. She says if everything falls into place, approval could come by the end of next month. One of the hurdles is the cost. The museum would have to pay $3,000 a year to be a Smithsonian affiliate. Gregg has talked with the Davison County Commission for an annual donation to cover that expense. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellen Bolt.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by BNSF Railway Company's STEM scholarships for business, mathematics, natural and physical sciences, technology, engineering, education, medicine, or health administration. Info available at aises.org/scholarships.
And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 18th. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour on this cool, it's a little chilly outside, 45 degrees in the capital city, but we'll take it. And we'll also take these guys. Andy Klein is in the studio with Darren Jensen. They're here from the Alaskan Brewing Company to tell us about the Big Mountain Brew.
About this.
Always a highlight.
That's a Big Mountain Pale Ale I just poured for you, Scott Burton.
Wow.
Reach around the board this way. I'll come around this way and give it to you so it doesn't go over the board.
Reach around. Thank you.
Very much.
There you go.
And
so
Jeff,
that's a big, yeah, Big Mountain Pale Ale. Yeah.
Jeff Brown, my producer, said I had to try this. So
right.
You're right.
You gotta. Yep.
This one's for
we
Aaron.
Put you to the test last time. We asked you to tell us.
Oh, and look, there's Jeff.
Oh,
hey,
gosh. Hey, Jeff. Yeah, that's a surprise. Jeff showed up when the beer got poured.
There's a line out the door. That's really weird.
Well, we're this is the Big Mountain Pale Ale. It's come out. People have seen it before, especially in Juneau, as a spring seasonal. It's also been available in this special package we do called the Boundary Range Hot Pack. But it's one of these beers that had so much buzz and so many people talking about it that we just kind of knew we had to bring it out as a year-round because people love it.
People wanted it.
Yeah,
yep.
People wanted it. And it's kind of a new generation. You know, a lot of what's happening in pale ales and IPAs is as new hop varieties come out, breweries respond by brewing these great beers. And we did that about 2 years ago when the Simcoe and Mosaic hops first got available to us. This was the first beer that we went with, and we combined the Simcoe and Mosaic in a pale ale. So it's not super bitter, not super alcoholic like some IPAs can get really strong and really bitter.
Smells great. And yeah. It tastes great, too.
And this one, I think it really, really plays on those hops.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Simcoe's is kind of in Mosaic, they're kind of new school variety, new school within the past 10 years. So you're getting away from the Cascade, kind of Citra aromas, Cascade hop, Citra varieties, which are kind of more floral.
And those are in our free ride. For
that's
instance,
in free
Cascade,
ride.
Centennial, those are hop and Citra are hops that are in the free ride.
Yeah,
which are awesome, delicious, very drinkable, citrusy. This has a more floral. There's a grassy element to
there's
it.
There's the grassy element. You know, some say like a kind of a sweeter Maui kind of onion in a great way. You know, if you can imagine that in a good descriptor. So it's kind of that. You know, oniony, garlicky descriptor in the best way possible. And then the Mosaic is that stone fruit.
I think that onion garlic is something that happens a little bit more in the boil. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a later addition.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you're aiming for that aroma, so that's your later addition hops. So that Simcoe is perfect for
that.
I
love talking to Darren about this because Darren's a brewer.
Yeah.
So when you talk to Darren about, and they add the hops, he's like, well, this is when they add it, and that's so key. I mean, that's
sometimes
true.
So
yeah.
This is called Big Mountain. Tell us how this came to be. Like, when did you conceive of the idea, and how long has it been in development?
Well, this came out in as a seasonal. Correct me if I'm wrong.
2014.
2014.
14 so, or 15? Let's see.
14. So 14, I was okay. On a bit of a hiatus at this point and kind of stepped away from the brewery for a little bit. This beer came out, and I immediately was like, finally, the hop. The hop I have been questing my whole life. So I was a huge fan of this beer when we released it as a spring seasonal, and I think it was 2013.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
14. I'm pretty sure it's 14 because then then we went to the then we went through a year where people were like, "Where's that big mountain?"
Yeah.
And so then we came out with this Boundary Range hot pack that has hopothermia and Icy Bay IPA in it and Freeride. And then we decided, well, let's do something really fun. We'll make that like the Easter egg of that package will be Big Mountain, and it's the only place you can get it.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting thing when we decided, well, we got to go with Big Mountain year round because people love it. Well, then we were like, well, what would we do with the Boundary Range Hot Pack? So now we've got a new beer in the Boundary Range Hot Pack, and that's called Ridge Hop, and that's an Azaka IPA.
Australian and hop.
A pygmy Australian hop called Azaka, named after the Haitian god of agriculture. I know you knew that, Scott.
Yes.
Killed
indeed.
Killed it.
And it's that's a really cool beer because that's a single hop variety beer, but a lot of complexity in one hop.
Citrus, piney character, some grassiness on the Azaka or on the Ridge Hop IPA. So another completely kind of different new variety of hop character.
Thinking of this one right here, since our listeners can't taste it, unfortunately, at this moment, how would you compare it to some of your other flagship beers?
So it would probably have a little, well, the Husky IPA that we came out with, our seasonal, our spring seasonal, definitely has that stone fruit kind of quality to it.
And that, because that's using the Mosaic hop. That was a beer that used the Mosaic hop only. This adds the Simcoe hop. They're sister hop varieties, so their genealogy is very similar. They're both grown in the Yakima Valley in Washington State. And they have a high citrus characteristic, and I would compare it to Husky, maybe Icy Bay IPA.
Yeah.
It's a light-bodied pale ale. It's a little lower in the bitterness intensity than IPAs are.
What about your kicker?
It's in that range of kicker. It's got a little bit more body than the kicker. The kicker's a little bit of a lighter bodied.
More alcohol, but not an IPA strength. So we're still packing a bunch of flavor into a pale ale, which is really cool because you can, you get a really good like flavor profile, but then you're not competing with the alcohol. With a general IPA, which is in 6.5 to 7, up to 8% these days. So still low ABV, but a ton of flavor.
The other cool thing about this beer is we named it Big Mountain because it fits into that series of beers like Icy Bay IPA, which is about surfers and Icy Bay, free ride, snowboarding culture. And then Big Mountain is about kind of ice climbing, those big mountains, and that really extreme snowboard and skiing that gets done on huge mountains and the kind of coastal ranges here. So that's pretty cool, too. We kind of always try to match up something of our beer with a lifestyle element.
It's relevant.
Darren, how long have you been in the beer industry, would you say?
So pretty much at the brewery for, let's say, 23 years.
23 years ago, did you think you would be talking about six or however many varieties of hops you guys have mentioned today?
It's incredible because we had amber and pale ale when I started.
ESB yet?
Not quite. That was developed as I was there.
Smoke Porter was around.
Smoke Porter was around.
As a seasonal.
And then we would do a seasonal. But the two beers we really had to focus on was Amber and Pale Ale, the Golden Ale.
Yeah, which was a Golden Ale. Not even a correctly named beer.
No.
Right? I mean, it's called the Pale because it was paler than the Amber, but it wasn't a Pale Ale.
Yeah.
And obviously your consumers are demanding this. They want more varieties?
Yeah, that's the name of the game.
For craft beer, especially, which has just exploded in the past 5 years, especially. The variety, especially when you get into these beers that have the hoppy characteristics, it seems like they have a run of a number of years when they're the hot beer, and then something else is interesting and new coming along. And it's often around hop varieties, these new hop varieties. And Yakima Valley is a hotbed for that.
It's
just incredible.
It is.
All the innovations happening there.
East Coast Pale Ales, IPAs.
That's the next
new category.
Another new wave to look for is East Coast New England IPAs, they're calling them. Hazy with really fruity character.
Milky.
And that's a little milk and milky, opaque. You can't even see through it at all. Really wild looking.
Yeah.
Do you think we could ever get away with making hops up here, growing hops?
Probably not. It's not dry enough, not enough sun. You can grow them. I mean, the homebrew club here actually has grown some hops, but they're real, real kind of fragile, not real aromatic. They don't give off a lot of quality. But
there's a hop belt that goes across the globe. And it's at that latitude that Yakima Valley is. It also requires a certain amount of sun, dryness, and those kinds of things. But it's kind of like a Pinot Noir belt or the, you know, those different wine regions that grow in these certain areas.
Hotbeds.
Yeah.
Remind our listeners where they can taste this and where they can get it.
Okay, well, you could taste it. It's released. So
yeah.
The Big Mountain, full-time product. It's going to be out everywhere.
I had some at McGinney's downtown yesterday.
Yeah,
we both did.
We actually did.
But tasting room is always a great bet for you. Go out to the brewery and you know, you can try any of our varieties of beers out there. And but all the bars in town and you know all the liquor stores and supermarkets and stuff in Juneau definitely are all carrying Big Mountain right now.
It's out.
All and you can look for the big ice pick and mountain the tap handle.
Yeah, it's great.
It's
big
really
yellow. Pretty easy to spot.
Cool tap handle.
Big Mountain. Darren Jensen, Andy Klein, you guys, thanks for coming in and sharing some with me. That was delicious.
You're welcome.
Thanks, man.
Are we missing anything?
No, that's it.
That's it.
Cheers.
All right, thanks.
Cheers.
Guys.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind and sometimes it makes me feel mellow. Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. This little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.
You like beer?
My wife often frowns when we're out on the town and I'm wearing a suit and a tie. She's sipping vermouth and she thinks I'm uncouth. I yell as the waiter goes by. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes you feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. While this little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer. Last night I dreamed that I passed from the scene and I went to a place so sublime. All the water was clear and tasted like beer. Then they turned it all into wine. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. Oh, this little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I love beer.
Yeah, he likes beer.
Get your tickets now for the 2017 Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. This year promises to electrify with performances from the Congress, Grammy winner Zool Bailey with the Vega Quartet, Axiom Brass Quintet, and a festival finale not to be missed with Richard Thompson. Tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, JAHC.org, and JazzandClassics.org. This message brought to you by Juno Jazz and Classics.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 18th. It's about 20 minutes after the hour. Scott Burton, your host. In the studio now is Rosemary Walling. She's a board member at the Marie Drake Planetarium, and she teaches astronomy at UAS, has a background in physics. Welcome to the show, Rosemary.
Welcome.
Nice to have you here. So 7 p.m. tonight at the Marie Drake Planetarium, Finding Another Earth.
Right. So there's been a lot in the news lately about, especially about a planet that's in the Alpha Centauri system, which is our closest neighbor. The star itself is Proxima Centauri, and the planet's B. And also in the last year is a system called the TRAPPIST-1, which is pretty interesting. It's got seven more or less Earth-sized planets all orbiting the star. And three of them are in what's called the habitable, or the Goldilocks zone.
Kind of like we are away from our sun.
Yeah, so not too hot, not too cold. And so there's kind of a habitability zone around planets. And that's pretty much based on whether liquid water could be on the surface, which already assumes an atmosphere, because if you think of our moon, it's near to us, but it has no water on the surface. There's no pressure to keep water there. So there's this habitability zone or Goldilocks zone that people can pretty well define based on an ability to have liquid water on the surface. But it doesn't really mean that there actually is liquid water on the surface. People find that water is pretty ubiquitous. Even in our own solar system, there may be places for life where water is even under the surface and not necessarily on the surface of a planet. And then in contrast to that is whether the planet's habitable. And that brings in all sorts of other complications.
Okay. Rosemary, what sort of drove you to study astronomy and now teach it?
Well, my background's physics, so I think starting in high school I started to read about cosmology. So my interest was more of the philosophical line. And then when I got into college, I had a math background, and I naturally went towards physics. And even when I worked as a physicist, I did a lot of spectroscopy.
And spectroscopy?
Yeah, spectroscopy, which is, if you think of how we learn about the universe, it's because of light and an interpretation of light. And even how we find planets around other stars, it's not that we take a picture. It's that we look at a point of light of the star and infer the presence of a planet from that. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of aligned to each other.
Yeah. For people that don't know where the Murray Drake Planetarium is, can you explain it?
It's near the swimming pool, near the soccer field, and there's the Murray Drake building, I guess, is kind of on the south side of the soccer field, and there's a dome on top where you can see that.
And you have
and
that
it's
great,
on Glacier Avenue.
Yep, downtown. You have that great projector, right?
Yeah, the star ball. Tonight may be a little bit different. We may be doing a lot more with some things on the web. There's a program called Stellarium that will allow us to view the Juno sky. So we'll either be using the Starball or we'll be using some computer program tonight.
And it's free at 7?
It's free. It's at 7. And for people who don't know much about the planetarium, there's a Facebook page for the Murray Drake Planetarium. We also have a website that you can easily find one of those with Google.
If you had to put your money on... if there is another Earth out there or not, what would you say?
Yes. Characterizing it's going to be hard. We have a lot of methods that we have several methods for finding planets, and the next generation of telescopes is going to be able to characterize them. And that's what we'll know the answer to that. But just based on the statistics, there's probably a billion Earth-like planets.
Wow. Tonight, 7 p.m.
Free. Let's say habitable zone planets.
Okay. Free, 7 p.m. tonight.
Right.
At the Murray Drake Planetarium. And your Facebook page has more information. Just look for the Murray Drake Planetarium.
Right.
Sounds good. Rosemary, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I think tonight might be interesting because I'll try to show a lot of web resources that people can use at home. So hopefully there'll be something that people can take away tonight.
Great. Free, 7 p.m. tonight at the Murray Drake Planetarium. Rosemary Walling will be presenting on Finding Another Earth. Rosemarie, thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you.
Programming is supported by Alaska Graphics, showcasing businesses and organizations through on-screen advertising at Gross Alaska Movie Theaters, now including animation, video, and optional audio. Information on advertising on the big screen at akonscreen.com.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, April 18th. We're right at the bottom of the hour.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 18th of April, 2017. It's the birthday of the man who inspired the word beatnik in the 1950s, the poet Bob Kaufman, born New Orleans, 1925, Roman Catholic mother, German Jewish father, Not much is known about his life. He didn't keep a diary, didn't save letters. He wrote 3 volumes of poetry, but he preferred to recite his poems in coffee houses rather than write them down. He spent 20 years in the Merchant Marine, circled the globe 9 times, survived 4 shipwrecks, and was out at sea when he first read about the beat poets, many of whom also had been seamen. Gary Snyder had, Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg. When Kaufman was back on land, he went to New York City. He met William S. Burroughs and Ginsberg. The 3 of them moved to San Francisco, where Kaufman liked to perform poetry, shouting it, improvising spontaneously on the street, for which he was arrested many, many times in 1959. And the columnist Herb Kane, who coined the word beatnik, said that he had Kaufman in mind. Bob Kaufman, who said, "I want to be anonymous. My ambition is to be completely forgotten." It's the birthday of Clarence Darrow, born in Kinsman, Ohio, 1857, became a lawyer who fought for unions and the poor and became famous for defending some unpopular people in his day. The Scopes trial in 1925, he defended the schoolteacher John Scopes for teaching evolution in a school in Tennessee, and he successfully defended 2 confessed teenage murderers, Richard Loeb and Nathan Leopold. He defended them from receiving the death penalty. Clarence Darrow, who said, "I never killed a man, but I have read many obituaries with a lot of pleasure." 1924, on this day, the first crossword puzzle book came out. Simon & Schuster published it, and it sold out immediately. By the end of that year, 1924, the 3 books Simon & Schuster put out were ranked number 1, 2, and 3 on the national bestseller list. It's the birthday of the journalist Susan Faludi, 1959, in Queens, in New York City, author of Backlash, The War Against Women, came out in 1992, and then Stiffed, The Betrayal of the American Man, came out in 1999, about the culture of masculinity in America. Susan Faludi, who said, "I don't see how you can be a feminist and not think about men. In order for women to live freely, men have to live freely, too." And it's the birthday of Clifton Keith Hilligass, Rising City, Nebraska, 1918, who gave us Cliff's Notes, the little black and yellow striped pamphlets that for some college students took the place of reading the classics themselves. Here's a poem for today by Catherine Abbey Hodges, "Dark and Late." This dark porch has brimmed with light, like a bowl with water, like a throat with laughter. Afternoons of light, years of afternoons, scintillating dawns, flagrant noons, underwater green dusks, and nights dark and late, lit by candles, hands, eyes with the leap. That's the life we've come for, what we carry nonchalant, white-knuckled, down the spill of years, what carries us, what meets us in the end and on the way in each other. Dark and Late, a poem by Catherine Abbey Hodges from Instead of Sadness, published by Gunpowder Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Progressive Insurance, offering Snapshot, a device that adjusts insurance rates based on safe driving habits. Now that's Progressive. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Spring is here and the Forest Service is getting ready for summer at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. The center will close during the month of April, but all outdoor trails are open. Starting May 1st, the Visitor Center will be open daily from 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. when a pass is required for the center and nearby facilities. Passes may be purchased at the Juneau Ranger District on the Back Loop Road or from vending machines in the Visitor Center parking lots. Please call 789-0097 for details. Come on out and love your glacier.
You're listening to a June afternoon here on Tuesday, April 18th. It's about 25 minutes until the top of the hour.
This is Bird Note. This whir of wings must mean the hummingbirds are back. The Anna's hummingbird spent the entire winter in the west and northwest. Now, this feisty Rufus hummingbird enters to stir things up. Up the eastern seaboard and through the Midwest, ruby throats are arriving day by day. Broad-tailed hummingbirds and others are northbound along the Rocky Mountains. And in the south and southwest, more than a dozen species are back for the summer, including this black-chinned hummingbird. So how can you attract these feathered gems to your yard or balcony? One way is to grow native plants with flowers of red, orange, or purple. Native plants offer nectar in spring and summer, and they also attract insects, the most important part of a hummingbird's diet. Native plants also provide cover and a natural, sustainable habitat that welcomes birds to your yard. Just add a source of water for drinking and bathing, and you'll have a hummingbird haven. Not sure where to start? We'll help you find the right plants for your part of the country. Begin at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
North and Alaska Robotics present a nerdy comedy concert featuring local musicians and nationally renowned visiting artists. Join us at 360 on Saturday afternoon, April 22nd for laughs and songs with the Double Clicks, Molly Lewis, Seth Boyer, and Juno's own Marion Call and Fish. There'll be live drawing during the show by visiting illustrators attending the Alaska Robotics Minicon. Kids are welcome. Grown-ups are allowed too. The show's at 1 p.m. April 22nd. Tickets are available at ktoo.org.
And speaking of that concert there on Saturday, here are the Double Clicks with Lasers and Feelings.
In first grade, you said I was pretty. In ninth grade, you were quiet but witty. Then you moved out to some other city and became a deranged billionaire. You've got a master plan and it's evil. Your hopes are for worldwide upheaval. They seem violent and somewhat medieval, but I'm thinking that my love could save you. You've got lasers and I've got feelings. Your lonely heart could use some healing. You've got lasers and I've got feelings for you. Everyone in the world knows your name now, and that might give you some comfort somehow. But no one has promised their vows, and I know I'm the right one for you. To me, you just seem so alone. You're collecting your enemies' bones, and you use them in building your throne. And I think I should give you a call. You've got lasers and I've got feelings. Your lonely heart could use some healing. You've got lasers and I've got feelings for you. Through your disguise, it's not hard, it only covers your eyes. And I wonder if you ever cry or if you ever think about me. I'm not trying to give you a guilt trip, but they won't let me on to your airship. My friends tell me I'm losing my grip, but I want you to know that I care. You've got lasers and I've got feeling. Your lonely heart could use some healing. You've got lasers and I've got feelings for you. You've got lasers and I've got feeling. Why are bad boys so appealing? You've got lasers and I've got feelings.
The Glacier Valley Rotary Club celebrates 25 years of the Pillars of America Speaker Series. On April 19th, hear Brandon Stone, a former Juneau resident and U.S. Navy SEAL officer. Stone was severely wounded in Afghanistan, receiving a Bronze Star with Valor and a Purple Heart for his heroism. He later earned a law degree from Georgetown University and is excited to return to Juneau to inspire small-town kids to achieve big dreams. The Pillars of America Speaker Series at Centennial Hall in Juneau. Tickets are at Hearthside Books and lunch is included. Brought to you by Glacier Valley Rotary Club.
And now in the studio here on a Juneau afternoon, we do indeed have Brandon Stone, who will be speaking tomorrow as part of one of the Pillars of America speakers. Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Thanks so much, Scott. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. And we also have Mandy Massey. She is with the Rotary Glacier Valley Rotary Club. Thanks for coming in. They're the ones that put this all together. Mandy, remind us how this came to be and why you all do this.
Yeah, you bet. You know, there's so much history behind it, and we are celebrating 25 years of the Pillars of America series, and over the years it has evolved. In the beginning, it was primary military personnel who'd overcome adversity, and then through the years it morphed. But we continue to bring people of all backgrounds, all diversity, but the common denominator is having gone through hard times and gone through many adversities, and bringing that message of hope and determination to Junoites, and not only just adults like you and I, but also to students. And about half of our tickets, about over 200 tickets, are actually sponsored by the business community and given to the students. So it truly is an opportunity to kind of switch gears for these kids and kind of make that light switch on and push themselves to the next level, maybe achieve something they never thought possible.
And so Brandon will be speaking tomorrow at Centennial Hall. Remind us of those details.
Yes, absolutely. If you haven't got your tickets, you'll want to grab those at Hearthside Books really quick, or just come to the door. Be sure to get there early. The doors open at 11. Actually 11:15, but you want to be in line, getting ready for that. And you will get lunch served with your ticket. It's $35. And you want to get there before noon. So I think the seating ends at 11:50. But it's well worth it. Bring a friend or coworker, maybe your middle school or high school child.
Okay. Brandon, you are born and raised in Juneau, is that right?
That's correct, Scott.
Well, welcome back. And where do you live now?
I live in the Washington, D.C. area, Alexandria, Virginia, just across the river from D.C.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about life in Juneau for you before you left.
Well, growing up here was just a great experience. It's a great place to grow up in a small town and go salmon fishing and, you know, go skiing at Eagle Crest and just all the great people that are here and many of who are still here. I get to come back and see some of my teachers. I'll actually have a couple of my kindergarten teacher and my second grade teacher will actually be in the audience tomorrow, which will be really a treat for me among many, many other people that have kind of had an impact on me. So I'm really looking forward to that.
May I ask how old you are now?
33.
Okay. And since you left Juneau, decorated Navy SEAL, have since gone to law school. You're living in D.C. now. So you're a lawyer, right? But you don't give inspirational talks like this all the time. Is that right?
No, this is actually my first time. I've done a couple speaking things, just Veterans Day events and things like that, but never anything like this. And this opportunity came up, and I actually am not really someone who seeks the spotlight or really enjoys it. But when this opportunity came up from Glacier Valley Rotary Club to come to Juneau of all places and do this, I felt really honored and humbled to be asked to do this. So, of course, I said yes, and it happens to be on my sister's birthday, too, and she lives here in town, so it'll be kind of a birthday present for her as well.
And is this common for you, Mandy, to choose people who are from Juneau for this?
You know, this is not the very first. I think we've had Alaskans on before, but we did intend on making it more local, bringing it back to Alaska and the pillars right inside our home state and town. And so in the search, which is a very in-depth search across the country to find people to inspire Junoites through this series, we made a considered effort to do this. And we were actually, we asked people what they wanted to hear and who they wanted to hear from, and that's the feedback we got. So we are so pleased to have Brandon Stone here.
Yeah. Brandon, can you give us just a little preview of a few things you might talk about tomorrow?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, one thing I want to, especially since there will be middle school and high school students in the audience, I want to hopefully impart some of the things I've learned along the way. I've kind of had an unexpected path, and not an unwelcome path, but it's certainly been unexpected. And, you know, I want them to be able to be inspired, not just by my story, but also to think for themselves about what inspires them, what gets them going, and how to go out and achieve those dreams, and to recognize that as they pursue those dreams, whatever they may be, they're going to suffer some significant setbacks. And that's okay. You know, they need to be patient with themselves and with their circumstances, and sometimes with other people, and they just need to keep going, you know. And that's kind of what I've done. And I've been so blessed in my life to have done some really great things, and hopefully I can share some of that tomorrow.
Okay. Give us the details again, please,
yeah,
Mandy.
Yeah, sure. I would like to mention we have some sponsors I'd like to thank. There's so many, too many to name, but our platinum sponsors are Alaska Marine Lines, Baxter, Bruce & Sullivan, LG Rayfield Mertz, Fred Myers, Northrim Bank, and Southeast Alaska Real Estate. There's so many to mention. I wish I could say them all, but thanks to the community to make it possible. This is not a fundraiser for us. In fact, the Glacier Valley Rotary Club fundraises throughout the year to make this series possible. And so it really is about giving back to the community. But again, if you don't have your tickets, go grab them at Hearthside Books, not only for this week, but also the next two Wednesdays. Or just show up at the door tomorrow. Be there early, Centennial Hall. Tickets are $35, and you'll get a wonderful lunch from the hangar.
And got it. So it's not consecutive this week. It's every Tuesday for the
every Wednesday for 3 weeks. Yeah. So you've got time to get those tickets and tell your friends and coworkers and bring them out.
Okay. It's at Centennial Hall. Doors open 11:15.
Get there early. Parking, as you know, can be a challenge. You'll be standing in line at 11 and before, but just go on through. It'll be a great experience for everyone.
Brandon, not to put you on the spot, can you leave our listeners with one other piece of advice? Or if we have, I see some high school students are about to come on. They're all part of the Thunder Mountain High School's Beauty and the Beast production. What might you say to those guys as they're getting ready for college and getting out of here?
You know, just to find their niche in the world and to go out and pour themselves out for whatever they find to do, and to do it to the very best of their ability. And, you know, very rarely are we in charge of outcomes, but we can always be in charge of effort. And so hopefully I can impart some of that upon them.
Brandon Stone, Mandy Massey, Pillars of America starts tomorrow at Centennial Hall. Check it out. Thanks for coming on the show, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host. We have about 9 minutes until the top of the hour. And joining me in the studio now is the cast of Beauty and the Beast from Thunder Mountain High School. We have Drake Timothy, Caleb Brown, Kieran Smith. They're all seniors. This show opens on Friday. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So Beauty and the Beast, how did you guys choose to do this one?
So initially, it started with me. Our director came up to me and was like, I didn't know you sang. I think you should come audition for it. And then I was like, I talked about it a little bit. I was like, all right, maybe. And then I talked to these guys about it, and they were like, well, that could be fun. Why not?
And, you know, typically we play in the pit, so we'll do all the music for it and whatnot. But just last year, Barb, the director, yeah, she was checking us out down the pit, said we should be on stage. So
so you're all musicians first?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And have you done acting before?
No, not at all.
Nope.
Not in high school, no.
How's it compared to being musicians, being in the band?
It's something else, yeah. Long hours. Yeah.
That's the voice of Kieran. Okay, so it opens this Friday and then also plays on Saturday.
Yep.
Give us the details of when and where.
So we have April 21st and 28th. We have 7 o'clock. 22nd and 29th, the Saturdays, we have a matinee at 2 and an evening show at 7, and then Sundays at 7 o'clock also.
And if people want more information, where's the best place to get it? Like, you guys got Facebook page or website?
Probably on the Thunder Mountain website.
Yeah, I think on the Thunder Mountain website there's info.
What's been the best part of putting this together for you guys? It's been the most enjoyable part. I bet it's been a lot of hard work.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd say the best part is just getting to know different people that I wouldn't normally hang out with. Just all of the kids who normally would do theater every single year, I don't really see them as much just day-to-day in the hallway and stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. It's kind of crazy how quickly, as soon as the cast is picked, it kind of becomes like a small community almost. It's just everybody gets really close and comfortable with each other, and it's a fun environment to be in, definitely.
Yeah, I was just talking about how fast it was, too. It was kind of crazy. Like, we auditioned, like, the week after winter break or whatever, and that felt like yesterday. It's kind of crazy how fast it went, just each night, just for a few hours or so until now. It's like, all right, 5 o'clock to 10:30, we're going to go through it. And you're like, get home, and you're like, oh, my gosh, one more day.
I think it's probably obvious, but what's sort of the takeaway from Beauty and the Beast for you guys? What is this fairy tale trying to communicate to people?
Well, I think, at least for, like, my character, I play the Beast. At least for, like, my character, what I'm trying to convey is, like, you always have a chance in life. Like, you may have screwed up somewhere, and it may have gone downhill or whatever, but there's no reason you should just kind of, like, put your head down and just kind of, like, oh, man, life sucks right now. Like, you just got to keep going for it.
Okay. How about you, Caleb? What's your character?
I play LeFou, who's Gaston's main henchman. I definitely think that kind of the takeaway of the play is, I mean, it's kind of just like an underdog story. Like, you have Gaston, who's like this big guy that everybody loves, but then this character that's been transformed into a monster ends up getting the girl that he's after. So,
Kieran?
You know, it's typically just like the don't judge a book by its cover or whatever. But, yeah, I'd say that's...
Speaking of time going quickly, you guys are all seniors. How many more days of school?
I think 29 is what they said today.
Yeah. 6 weeks.
Yeah, right? Is this production maybe steering you towards being thespians rather than musicians? What do you think? Tell us about what's next for you guys.
I don't know. I think I still prefer music a little more over acting. I'm more comfortable with it, but you never know. Anything's possible.
That was Drake. Caleb?
Yeah, I definitely have enjoyed this process, and I think it's going to be fun, but I think music's going to be where I stay.
Kieran?
Yeah, same goes for me. You know, it's fun going up on stage, but jazz has a special place in my heart.
Caleb, remind us about the times and the dates this weekend.
So this weekend, we have Friday opening night at 7 o'clock. We have Saturday 2 and 7. And Sunday we have a 7 o'clock. Also, for if you have kids, you can we're doing like a lunch with Meet the Cast at 12:30 on both Saturdays.
How many are in the cast, by the way?
60 or something crazy.
Probably.
Whoa, 60?
I think 60 is a bit high.
Was that, that's including the pit? 60?
Oh, including pit? Yeah, probably about 60 with pit.
A lot.
I'd say probably, yeah, around 30 on stage.
And remind us where to get tickets?
Tickets are at the door, right?
Yeah, you can get them at the door, or you can get them from any cast member.
Hearthside.
Are they at Hearthside?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
That's Drake Timothy, Caleb Brown, and Kieran Smith, and they're in Beauty and the Beast this weekend at Thunder Mountain High School. You guys, thanks for coming on the show. Any last words for our listeners?
We hope you come and watch, and we hope you enjoy it.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to a Juneau afternoon. It's currently 45 degrees at the Juneau International Airport. And looking at the weather for tonight, calls for snow likely, possibly mixed with rain, mainly after 4 a.m. And the chance of precipitation is 60% with little or no snow accumulation expected. And looking to tomorrow, Wednesday, rain and snow likely, becoming rain after 7 a.m., then gradually ending, little or no snow accumulation expected. Thursday, rain and snow likely, looks very similar. Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau afternoon.